this morning on WCHL, how has the media contributed to UNC's academic scandal?
Structure and hierarchy is important.
More than a dozen protesters were arrested during a special Moral Tuesday sit-in in House Speaker Tom Tillis' office in Raleigh. And it's officially Jaguars Men's Tennis Day in Carrboro.
On May 17, 2014, the Jaguars captured their first state tennis title.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carrboro traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports this morning, the UNC baseball team has a tough road ahead in the NCAA tournament, but it's not an impossible scenario. Plus, a Chapel Hill resident and Tar Heel alumnus is making his name on the national tennis stage. And
Donald Sterling will wind up the wealthiest known bigot in America.
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
707 at WCHL, 67 degrees in Chapel Hill. Partly sunny today, rather muggy. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high temperature today, about 90. The place and the way in which a long-lasting controversial topic is covered plays a major role in the public's perception. And UNC faculty chair-elect Bruce Caron says that's weighing heavily on the university's academic scandal.
Structure and hierarchy is important. And so there are reporting systems that are in place, and then groups that are in charge of units, various units, sit down together and discuss these issues. And then that's how problems are solved. If, however, that hierarchy and that system is not used, and instead we discuss this in a very public forum, then it becomes difficult amidst all of that discussion to really get that addressed.
Dr. Caron served in the Navy, where he says he learned that hierarchy. He's the J.C. Burn Center Director and John Stackhouse Distinguished Professor of Surgery at Carolina. He was recently elected as chair of the faculty at UNC and will take over from Jan Boxall at the start of the new academic year on July 1st. The faculty chair position holds a three-year term. Despite all the constant, mostly negative coverage of the academic scandal, Dr. Caron says he doesn't believe this is a situation that UNC can't recover from over time. These comments were made during a WCHL News special with Jim Hebner.
You mentioned things like train wreck and canyon and so forth. I know that the focus has been on dealing with the issues we talked about with the budget, as well as getting the leadership team in, and then trying to create the structural framework for how to address issues like this. As we've already admitted, this is one of the most challenging academic issues we have had. So I think that the attempts have really been made to begin that dialogue, or actually have that dialogue. And in fact, I've seen it. I've been a part of it.
The results of another investigation currently underway by former Assistant Attorney General for National Security and Homeland Security Advisor to President George W. Bush, Kenneth Weinstein, are expected sometime this summer. Stay tuned at 7:30 this morning. We'll bring you part two of the four-part conversation with Jim Hebner and Bruce Caron's. And this weekend, you can hear the discussion in its entirety on Saturday and Sunday, both days at 12 noon. 14 demonstrators opposed Republican policies adopted by the North Carolina legislature sat on the floor in the office of House Speaker Tom Tillis in acts of civil disobedience. General Assembly police arrested the protesters late Tuesday. Tillis, of course, is the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate this year. The Reverend William Barber of the North Carolina NAACP says demonstrators included clergy members and fast food workers seeking repeals to GOP-approved laws that refuse Medicaid expansion and scale back unemployment insurance, among other things. The demonstrators also sang and prayed as nearly 200 people connected to the Moral Monday movement visited the legislative complex to lobby lawmakers. A key committee in the North Carolina House has advanced a bill that would lift the state's moratorium on fracking for natural gas. The House Public Utilities and Energy Committee passed the Republican-backed measure on Tuesday, with several Democrats in the minority voting no. The bill was amended to remove a provision directing the first drilling permits be issued in July 2015, replacing it with language allowing permits to be issued 60 days after the final regulations for the industry are approved. Fracking is used by the energy industry to extract oil and gas from rock by injecting high-pressure mixtures of water, sand, or gravel, and chemicals. The bill was approved by the state Senate last week. It's expected to be debated in the House Finance Committee today. The State House has confirmed Governor Pat McCrory's choice for North Carolina State Controller and given a tentative okay for his selection to the Industrial Commission. Linda Combs' approval as controller was unanimous yesterday. Combs is the former controller of the United States during President George W. Bush's administration. The first vote for Industrial Commission appointee Charlton Allen was along party lines with Republicans in the majority. Allen is a Mooresville attorney whose supporters say has prior experience representing workers. Democrats don't think he's qualified for the job. Minority Leader Larry Hall says Allen filled out a candidate questionnaire while running for the legislature that suggests he wouldn't have workers' best interests. A final House vote on Allen could come today. The Senate also has to approve both appointments. It's officially Jaguars Men's Tennis Day in the town of Carrboro. WCHL's Danny Hooley was there at Town Hall when the Carrboro High men's tennis team received this special honor.
At the beginning of Tuesday night's Board of Aldermen meeting, Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle performed a duty that she called a lot of fun, and she's already done it twice during the 5 months she's held the office. That is, she's twice had the honor of recognizing a local high school sports team for winning a state championship.
Now therefore be it resolved that I, Lydia Lavelle, Mayor of Carrboro, North Carolina, do hereby proclaim Wednesday, May 28th as Carrboro Jaguars Men's Tennis Day, and urge all residents of the town of Carrboro to take every opportunity to congratulate these players and their coaches for their remarkable achievement this, the 27th day of May, 2014.
Lavelle said that one of the fun parts was doing the research on the state champion Carrboro High School Jaguars men's tennis team. And 2 months ago, she did the same for the state 3A champion Chapel Hill Lady Tigers basketball team. Here's how Jaguars Day came to be proclaimed in Carrboro today.
On May 17, 2014, the Jaguars captured their first state tennis title, a resounding 5-0 victory over the Brevard Blue Devils, and won the North Carolina High School Athletic Association 2A state dual championship.
As Lavelle pointed out, the team had a 2-year streak of runner-up finishes before finding out that the third time is indeed the charm. The mayor called all the players up front, one by one, to stand for a group photo. While doing so, she singled out the accomplishments of Carrboro High junior Max Fritsch, who was selected as the state championship's most valuable player, as well as conference player of the year. Fritsch is also the team's most valuable player, as well as state doubles champion, along with teammate Jacob Zinn. The mayor also noted freshman Jason Wyckoff, who received the state championship Outstanding Sportsmanship Award, and is the team's freshman of the year. Jaguars coach John Noyes was there with his team at Town Hall. He got up behind the podium to list the numerous honors that his team members racked up this year. And then he said this.
Guys did a fantastic job this year, and I'm really proud of you.
So if you see a Jaguar from the men's tennis team around Carrboro today, tell him you are too. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
Chapel Hill Town Council will consider approving a plan to rezone Timber Hollow Apartments on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard when the council meets tonight. The rezoning and special use permit would pave the way for 109 additional apartments on that 19-acre lot. That's at the corner of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Piney Mountain Road. 14 of those apartments would be designated as affordable rentals. The council will also hear from the Friends of Bowling Creek, who say an unlined coal ash deposit under the police station is leaking toxins into the groundwater. They're calling on local leaders to take action to clean it up. The council meets at 6 o'clock to interview applicants to the Planning Commission. The regular agenda gets underway at 7 o'clock tonight at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. WCHL News Time, 7:15. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you by Grimble Jewelers.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound and southbound. Still seeing slight delays between Estes Drive and Garrett Road through the I-40 interchange. Be on the lookout there. MLK southbound between Estes and Franklin Street. Seeing some delays right now as well. Just mild, nothing major out there and no accidents to report. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that very safely.
You know, Grimble Jewelers is always there for you with that special engagement ring or that custom piece you've been dreaming out for years. Grimble Jewelers, always there. Berkeley Grimble is the man to see at Grimble's, Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods. Grimble Jewelers. Now, we're turning to your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather forecast, and it is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. It is 67 degrees right now, rather warm this morning, and it's going to be downright hot later on in the day. Partly sunny, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today, about 90. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thundershowers, and the low tonight around 65. Tomorrow, cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain in the afternoon, and high tomorrow about 80, 10 degrees cooler than today. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a 50% chance of showers, thunderstorms, low in the low 60s. And then on Friday, a little bit different, a 40% chance of rain, but the high only in the middle 70s. So we're talking a big change here for our weather. It's going to get a lot cooler, but today, hot.
Ron Stuntz has been your early morning host since 1977. That's a long time behind the mic. Ron has all your local news, sports, traffic, and weather together, interviews with the newsmakers, commentaries, jokes, and a lot more. You'll hear from Rand Northam and the entire WCHL news team, plus Freddie Kiger's trivia, Wayne Pond's Word of the Day, The Clean Joke with Lauren Stafford, and a whole lot more. Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m., this is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, Ron Stutz.
WCHL news time is 7:17. The U.S. Navy is sponsoring a conference which is designed to convince employers to hire veterans. The 4th Annual Wounded Warrior Hiring and Support Conference is scheduled for today and tomorrow at the Hilton North Raleigh. Today focuses on employers with sessions designed to share best practices and innovative ways to recruit, hire, train, and retain veterans. On Thursday, the focus will be a career fair for employers to connect with veterans. Also on the second day, tomorrow, veterans, spouses, and family members are offered the opportunity to attend workshops on subjects including career assessment and goal setting and how veteran skills translate to civilian jobs. The North Carolina Highway Patrol says at least 16 people were killed in traffic accidents in North Carolina during the long Memorial Day weekend. The holiday weekend began at 6 p.m. last Friday and ended at midnight on Monday. Two of the fatal accidents occurred in Robeson County. Last year, the patrol reported 14 deaths during the holiday period. And again, this year's figure was 16 deaths over the long Memorial Day weekend. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning, I'm Rod Stutz. North Carolina's baseball team, 34-25 of the season, will open up with NCAA tournament play on Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock. They're the third-seeded team in the Gainesville Regional and will be joined by host and number one seed Florida, number two seed Long Beach State, and number four seed College of Charleston. WCHL's Matt Oakes takes a look ahead at Carolina baseball action.
A redshirt junior and a senior, and this might be it. And this might be it, too. And it is. Double play ball. 6-3, and Carolina beats Maryland, 13-7.
That was the Fox Sports South College baseball broadcast team with the call. Carolina will be looking to build off its 13-run explosion against Maryland in its curtain call at the ACC tournament last weekend as the Tar Heels open up NCAA tournament play for the 13th consecutive season. The College World Series in Omaha is always the expected destination for the Diamond Heels. In fact, head coach Mike Fox updates the Omaha weather conditions each day on a whiteboard in the Chapel Hill training room. But this year's squad will need to find reliable, consistent hitting if it is to survive and advance out of a tough region that features the number two overall national seed in the form of the Florida Gators, 40-21 overall this season, and a 41-win College of Charleston team joins them. They beat Carolina in the 2014 season opening series. But first up on the road to Omaha, Carolina will send out ace Trent Thornton to the mound to pitch against Long Beach State. The Dirtbags are not strangers to the field of 64. They'll be making their 20th appearance, but first since 2008. Carolina and Long Beach State have never met in the postseason. In fact, the two programs have played just one game all time. That was a 1992 UNC win in Chapel Hill. As for the regional host Florida, UNC will have its hand full there. The Gators boast a series sweep over ACC powerhouse Florida State, a team the Tar Heels dropped three of four games to this year. Carolina and Florida last met in the NCAA tournament in 2005. The Gators took a winner's bracket game in Gainesville on their way to the College World Series. The Tar Heels won the only other postseason meeting in 1960. That booked them a spot in Omaha Omaha for the first time in school history. Carolina is making its 29th NCAA appearance overall and 15th in 16 seasons in the Coach Fox era. The Tar Heels have won 49 games in the postseason since 2006. That's a mark that's best in the nation. You can view the full bracket and schedule of games in Gainesville this weekend on our website, chapelboro.com. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And of course, you can follow the Tar Heels right here on WCHL. More details as well on our website at chapelboro.com. The Chapel Hill High School girls soccer team appears in its first state title game in program history on Saturday after defeating Fike High School of Wilson on Tuesday 2-0 in the regional championship. The Tigers made the run through the postseason as the number 9 seed in the East region, defeating the number 1, number 2, and number 5 seeds along the way. Quite a remarkable run. Chapel Hill faces the winner of tonight's Cuthbertson-Weddington contest in the state title game. Tune in on Friday morning to hear from Tiger head coach Ron Benson live on the WCHL Morning News. And don't forget, it is officially Jaguars Men's Tennis Day in the town of Carrboro, and we'll have that story coming up again on WCHL as we did earlier. Former North Carolina men's tennis player Nicholas Monroe claimed a 6-3, 7-5 first-round victory over Slovak Martin Klizan and Austrian Dominic Thiem alongside his doubles partner Simon Stadler on Tuesday at the French Open. A Chapel Hill resident and 2004 graduate of the university will now face the 13th-seeded pair of Dutch Jean-Julien Rojer and Romanian Oria Ticau in the second round along with his playing partner. Monroe turned professional in 2004 following graduation and is currently ranked number 62 in the doubles world rankings. The 32-year-old snagged his first ATP title in his career with Stadler at the 2013 Swedish Open. While at UNC, Monroe earned All-America honors and was named Carolina's Senior Male Student Athlete of the Year in 2004. You can follow Monroe's up-to-the-minute progress in the second Grand Slam of the year at RolandGarris.com. Once again, that is RolandGarris.com. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Donald Sterling will wind up the wealthiest known bigot in America. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Conflicting stories this week have L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling telling his wife, go ahead, sell the team to the highest bidder. And Sterling saying, hell no, I'm not selling anything. It's my team and I'll sell it when I'm good and ready. There is no question the Clippers will be sold for maybe $2 billion, and the 80-year-old Sterling will live out his days on a yacht in the Caribbean with V for Vixen Stiviano. In the end, he will see the wisdom of that choice. It may be illegal what the NBA is trying to do over a private tape recording made and released without Sterling's consent, but he will play this thing until he gets filthy rich all over again by selling his NBA franchise. Professional sports teams are the best investment on the planet right now. They are all increasing in value daily because of absurd advertising money and television rights fees. And there is plenty of global and domestic wealth to get into a massive bidding war for the team. Sterling knows or has been advised that the only way the Clips lose value is if he fights the NBA and keeps them, chasing off fans and advertisers as long as he is their owner. Keep it and lose money, sell it and walk with a couple of billion. Even Sterling is not that dumb. Isn't it amazing how buttoned-up professional sports leagues have to get into these gutter fights every few years? The NFL is the biggest and richest brand in America, but still Commissioner Roger Goodell had to deal with something like Bountygate. Major League Baseball can't get away from the PED scandal that has left the sacred book of records in shambles. Should they put an asterisk next to the names of home run sluggers Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds, and a question mark next to Roger Clemens because we only think he lied about juicing? The Clippers seem like they finally have a quality product on the court with a class coach in Doc Rivers and great players in Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. But they have a goofball owner in Sterling, and as long as he stays, his team will play under a cloud of controversy. Sooner or later, even Sterling will come to his senses and realize that not being wanted means he can cash out on a team that he bought for $12 million back in 1981. Even a numbnut like him will figure out he can walk away with more than 100 times his investment. Duh. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is John Nieder, Cedars member since 2006. Here's what John had to say.
One of the greatest assets that Cedars has are the members. The members have varied backgrounds. They're very interesting. They're very friendly. And we provide support for each other. Also, we socialize with our fellow members at dinner time. And it's great to have dinner with different people, talk about different subjects that they're interested in, that we're interested in. So the socialization that's provided by sharing dinners together is a wonderful feature of Cedars. Another aspect of Cedars that we like very much is the support. We feel the support is there in case we need it. Just knowing that it's there is very reassuring.
Thanks, John. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
You gotta get an Accord at Crown Honda South Point. Consumer Magazine has named the Accord the most impressive midsize of its class, and right now you can drive one for just $199 a month. Experience a new level of luxury today. Why settle for less? You gotta get an Accord at Crown Honda South Point on South Point Auto Park Boulevard and online at southpointhonda.com. Based on the 2014 Honda Accord Sedan LX Automatic, $199 per month, 36-month lease, 12,000 miles per year, $24.99 down payment due at signing. Excludes tax, title, and dealer fees. For well-qualified lessees, see dealer for details.
For years, the brokers at Weaver Street Realty were known as the Muddy Boots Land Team. They still call themselves that. They can read surveys. They know septics. They know wells. Whether it's an in-town lot or a 100-acre tract, they will put on their muddy boots and walk land with you through an unmatched level of expertise and service. The Weaver Street Team has earned customers for life through repeat business and referrals. They listen with compassion and act with confidence. Stop by on Main Street in Carrboro or check them out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
Thank you, Super. Star, disc jockey, morning talk show host, been here forever, keeping us doing it right, Ron Stutz.
Well, you're certainly welcome. It is 728 at WCHL, and it is 67 degrees. Look for a really hot day today. Hot today, about 90. More on the weather coming up. Also coming up at the bottom of the hour here on WCHL, WCHL News Special. Jim Hefner with Dr. Bruce Cairns. That is on the way on WCHL. This is Ron Stutz. We recognize hometown heroes every day, Monday through Friday, here on WCHL, sponsored by Performance Auto Mall. All this month, our hometown heroes will be moms. Actually, moms, grandmothers, daughters, those who are moms in one way or another, who also do good things in our community. Since Mother's Day is this month, they deserve some special recognition. Listen for lots of words of praise coming from those people who nominated them. Each mom we talk about will get a free massage from Massage Envy Spa at South Point in Eastgate. And one of our people doing the nominating will get a special prize package, including a Deepak VIP prize pack with tickets to see Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, free parking, and a dinner gift card. It's our special Moms Month to recognize moms who are hometown heroes right here on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Chapel Hill Carrboro Meals on Wheels wishes to thank all the sponsors of Dining for Dollars, a fundraiser that will be held June 5th at Hickory Tavern in Carrboro. We especially appreciate the support of Performance Subaru, Hickory Tavern, Silverback Asset Management, and Food Logic. You can learn more about this event by visiting chcmow.org or calling 919-942-2948. And, as usual, many thanks to WCHL for caring about our community.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Carolina Brewery in Chapel Hill. It's half off, $20 of delicious food and drinks, available now for $10. The Triangle's oldest brewery is open every day for lunch, dinner, and late night, and offers local beef burgers, hand-cut fries, and fun appetizers. New for the summer is a Triple S Lager, a full-flavored Vienna-style lager perfect for hot Carolina summers. It's half off from Carolina Brewery in Chapel Hill. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Good morning. It is 7:30 at WCHL, and this weather forecast brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Starting out really warm this morning, 67 degrees. Got a feeling it's going to be a really muggy day because our temperatures are going to go all the way up to about 90. We also have a 30% chance of showers and thundershowers in the afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, light chance of rain and the low in the middle 60s. And then tomorrow, a 50-50 chance of showers and or thunderstorms late in the day. High tomorrow, about 80, so considerably cooler tomorrow. tomorrow night. Low in the low 60s. Still a big chance of rain. And the same goes for Friday, except our high only about 75 degrees. Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace serves the best tasting fountain drinks in town. They're made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, guaranteed to taste great. Cruiser's, good to go.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
Our children, we miss you, we mourn you, we grieve you.
It's always darkest before the dawn.
So there was a gathering for the six people killed last week at UC Santa Barbara. New student body president Allie Guthy spoke to her peers.
Why have such a beautiful place and such beautiful people been hurt in this way?
And the crowd shouted, not one more. The father of victim Christopher Michaels Martinez called for stronger gun laws.
I got a phone call from a congressperson to express their condolences. And I told that person I wasn't interested in a phone call from them until that person went back to Congress and actually did something. They have done nothing, and that's why Chris died.
Chris Martinez was 20, an English major who planned on becoming an attorney. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Breadman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Breadman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 67 degrees in Chapel Hill. I'm Ron Stutz at WCHL. The place and way in which a long-lasting, controversial topic is covered plays a major role in public perception. UNC faculty chair-elect Bruce Cairns says that's weighing heavily on the university's academic scandal. He's the J.C. Byrne Center director and John Stackhouse Distinguished Professor of Surgery. He was recently elected as chair of the faculty at UNC and will take over from Jan Boxall at the beginning of the new academic year on July 1st. The faculty chair position holds a three-year term. Bruce Cairns sat down and talked with WCHL's Jim Hebner. And now, in a WCHL news special, we present part two of that interview.
Dr. Cairns, we have been talking about how we got to this point in the multiple scandals that you and I have agreed that we would put into different buckets, the FM scandal, and then we have the issue with the issues in the football program that we hope are in the past. But the current issues it seems to me that what we ought to be worried about is going forward, and that's what's being debated. And right now we're debating whether scholarship athletes, specifically football players and basketball players, and I want to go to some lengths to say that because there are an awful lot of students who are not in those sports who feel that they have also been unfairly maligned because too often this is said about all athletes, but about football players and then to a certain extent basketball players, that some are admitted whose chances of graduation are so slim that it raises a lot of questions about the university's mission. That question can be posed in a lot of ways, so you might not be very happy with the way I might pose it. So why don't you pose what you believe is the question that we have regarding how we deal with special admits who are here to play football or basketball?
I'm just happy to be here. You can pose it however you'd like. I think we have to be able to answer the tough questions, and so I'm fully prepared to give you the best answer that I can. And I think that for me, as faculty, we have to stand for something. And as we move forward, what we have to stand for is academic integrity, as opposed to against something, whether or not it's athletics or the performing arts or something else. If we stand for our academic integrity and then we stand for making sure we have policies, procedures in place to ensure that that happens, then people can have confidence that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. I would say that with regards to how we move forward, there have been a number of policies and procedures that have been evaluated. As you, I'm sure, aware that the Provost Working Group is evaluating everything from the very beginning to the very end that has anything to do with athletics. And we had the Board of Trustees meeting this month, and Bubba Cunningham discussed that process and said, number one, this is very complicated and it's going to take a lot longer. In fact, I think he said it will never be done. And I agree with that. We had talked about in the past the issues that have affected Carolina 50 years ago. The issues of athletics and academics have existed for 100 years. They're always going to be there. We now have no illusions that this doesn't affect Carolina. We know that's true. It's interesting that our faculty participate in the Faculty Athletics Committee as well as the Special Admits Committee. They're actively involved in this process. And I believe the numbers have changed over the past few years, the number of special admits in athletics. There have been attempts to link the performance of a student before they come to Carolina with their predicted outcome. And I think that that's really important. Again, the issue of academic performance doesn't just apply to the athletics team, but it applies to community college transfers. Anybody who comes into Carolina, we really have an obligation to help them finish because they're going to become leaders in their community. And it's not fair to them if we expect them to undergo the very rigorous and challenging Carolina education and not be able to complete that process. I really do think that the faculty and the administration working with the athletics department are really trying to be on the same page. However, I would say one last thing. We must maintain vigilance. We must continue to ensure that we are doing the right thing by our student athletes and by the university and our stakeholders so that we aren't faced with this problem again.
Well, if the scoreboard is unfavorable, then generally the folks who are being measured by the scoreboard don't like it. And lots of folks don't like the academic progress rate as now required by the NCAA. That in recent years, it's the progress toward graduation rate. And UNC, in the most recent report, has the worst four-year academic progress rate in the Atlantic Coast Conference in men's basketball and in football. What did you think when you saw those numbers?
I am going to do the best I can to remember what I've read about that. I believe that was a five-year cumulative result, and that if you have people who leave the program early, that absolutely affects your APR, and that the last year or two, we actually had done quite well. The reality is that we have to focus on what we can do now with admissions and with retention and with educating our students, whether they're student athletes or not, so that they get the best Carolina education. And we have to make sure that that's our priority. That's what we're going to do as faculty. That's what I've heard the provost and the chancellor say. I think that we just have to figure out how to work together to do that. I don't think anybody who supports Carolina and is concerned about these issues thinks that we should have any other approach.
The sports bars are filled with debate about one and done, whether that's good or bad for the sport, good or bad for the fans. Does it make it more fun to watch? We don't get to see as many of the kids come and watch them grow up here and mature. And in fact, the brand, that was sort of part of the brand of watching the kids grow up here. But from an academic standpoint, does the notion of sort of a plan for one and done as an academician, is that an issue for you?
That I have to confess, I don't think a lot about that as the chair of the faculty. We think about all of these other issues, and we want to have the best and the brightest, the students that are committed to coming to Carolina and then getting the full benefits of enrolling here, graduating. And I had an opportunity to work with the legendary Phil Ford. He has a foundation, and he has supported our burn camp, in fact. And he's been working with Dr. Eliana Perrin in childhood obesity. And, you know, he talked about finishing in 4 years in the 70s and the importance of getting that degree, and that Coach Williams and others believe in this as well. I think it's a challenging time for intercollegiate athletics. But I think that for us as faculty, our principal priority is going to be on educating the best and the brightest and having them complete their degree. I don't really have a lot more to say about that.
Well, I have one sort of final area, and that has to do in this whole business, and then we'll get on to some of the other easy topics like sex crimes. And I say that because, as a way of pointing out, that none of these issues are easy. So this has to do with your own view toward how the university, how the university's academic mission may be compromised when we have diplomas granted to students who are taking courses that are significantly less rigorous than might be that of the average student. Now, in the most recent round of published reviews of Mary Willingham's work, the university asked these three professors at three other universities to evaluate her findings. And then they came back and discredited her findings. But then in the report, and I'm going to read from it here so that we don't have any question about the accuracy of it. It says, the university's internal review found that more than 60% of the 176 students tested above a 12th grade equivalent. Less than 6% tested below an 8th grade equivalent. And even these results are questionable because the SATA does not have test score information for anyone below the 10th grade. Now, because our test was normed only for grades 10 to 16 in the school age population, we had to extrapolate downward. This process results in sometimes spurious grade equivalents. So even the university is suggesting in that a skeptic, and that's a part of our job, a skeptic would say, well, spurious grade equivalents means that we don't really know for certain where these students' reading ability would score. So the question being asked by those who are trying to probe this is, by UNC's own number, a 6% of a cohort of any size is enough to ask, should UNC admit any students who are reading at 7th grade level or below?
I'm a little bit uncomfortable commenting on this for a couple of reasons. Number one, the way that these as a clinical investigator, we do an analysis of data. We submitted a request to do human subjects study. Then we develop a methodology. We have results. We publish them. They go through peer review process, and then they get published. And then they get debated and discussed. That's not the way this has developed. And so I think that I'm always hesitant to comment on a very complicated question like this without it having been completely vetted through the usual academic channels. The second issue is that...
What does that mean?
That means that, this just happens all the time in science and in medicine. And I'm sure you've heard, you report stories, studies on this is safe to eat or not safe to eat or don't do this or don't do that. But those are rigorous trials that are done through various multiple centers, or for example, a drug gets approved and then it gets sent out in market, and then 5 years later we find out after a million people taking it that it's not as safe as we thought it was. Being able to draw conclusions is a very complex process, and that's sort of the way we do academic studies. But the second thing about this that is a little bit concerning is that we're talking about potentially our most vulnerable students, and if one has reading disability, that could be a clinical diagnosis, and that's where the whole issue of patient protection, human subjects protection, is so important. So I don't think that we have enough information, and it's such a sensitive issue that I would be a little reluctant to comment about that. And I think the other question I think you had earlier was the value of the Carolina degree and how rigorous is it. I have my daughter at Carolina right now, and she tells me it's quite rigorous. And all the students I know that it's just Carolina should be very proud of the product that it produces. This is an important issue for us to discuss, but it shouldn't dwarf the incredible accomplishments of the overwhelming majority of the students. And the ones that are struggling, we shouldn't be personally debating them out in public like this. We should be figuring out a way to support them.
Again, that is Bruce Cairns talking to WCHL's Jim Hebner, a WCHL News special. You just heard part two of a four-part conversation. You'll hear the others later on in the week. And in fact, this is a weekend. You can hear the discussion in its entirety on Saturday and Sunday at 12 noon. 7:45 at WCHL. Today's commentary with Matt Bailey on the way. He says we need to do whatever we can to get our teachers paid, and we need to act locally.
Oh, wow. Look at these pictures of mom and dad from college. Those glasses are frightening.
If you're considering LASIK surgery, check out the experienced team at the UNC Kittner Eye Center.
No kidding. Those glasses are enormous.
We offer the highest quality laser solutions and the best technology available.
Kind of makes you wonder what we'll look like when we're their age.
Call us to schedule a screening today. 30 years from now, you may very well thank us again. The UNC Kittner Eye Center. Call 919-445-2020 or visit us at unci.org.
No lazy summer days at Durham Tech. From photography to computers, interior design to bartending, Durham Tech has a wide range of continuing education courses all summer long. Returning students, summer is a great time to meet with your advisor for fall semester. And new students, look online to schedule your mandatory Connect session. Have a question? Get it answered by phone, email, online chat at durhamtech.edu, or simply stop by and see us at our Durham or Orange County campus.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
Beg your pardon. 67 degrees, 7:47 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Matt Bailey. One of the wonderful things about being a part of the Chapel Hill Carborough community is that you don't have to convince people of the value of education. So I'm pretty sure I don't have to sell you on the importance of fully funding our schools, including giving our teachers a long overdue raise. However, I am worried that we're not fully in touch with just how urgent the problem of teacher pay really is. I've talked with education professionals in other states who faced similar pay gaps in the past, and they tell me we may only have 1 or 2 years tops to bring our pay back in line with neighboring states before we feel a real impact in our classrooms. Now, I've heard a lot of people say we need to go to Raleigh and raise heck until state lawmakers fix this problem. But let's get real. We don't have the power to make sure Raleigh makes our schools their top priority, but we do have the power at the town and county level to make sure it's our top priority. I applaud the Board of County Commissioners for increasing the budget for our schools, and I appreciate their work to avoid raising taxes this year. Believe me, I'm no fan of tax increases, but I also fear we're not being realistic about just how big our teacher pay gap has become, or how little time we have left to fix it before we feel it. We need to increase the supplement we pay teachers in the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, even if we have to raise the special district tax to do it. Is it the ideal solution? Hardly. But right now, it may well be our best solution to ensure our best teachers stay in Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools. For a community that prides itself on all things local, if ever there was a time to act locally to pay our teachers, now is the time. This is Matt Bailey.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What you're saying on the street, presented by ISIS IT. What you're saying on the street.
I'm Princess Streeter. Chapel Hill, North Carolina is a town rich with tradition and one filled with entertainment and excitement. So we hit the streets to find out what brought you to the southern part of heaven.
My name is Isla Volpe. I live in Chapel Hill. I moved here in 1992, and I was attracted to a group that was investigating the mystical writings of the Baha'i faith. And I just was attracted to the group, and I decided to move here and to delve into the study of the writings.
My name's Steven Zevgolis, Chapel Hill. I guess what brought me here in a lot of ways was the in-state tuition. I wasn't really a full-time student until maybe in August, but I really started liking the environment in around Franklin Street, around the area. Things have been going pretty well since, I would say, since August.
Amelia Carborough. I used to live closer to the East Coast, and I had relapsed and lost everything and was evicted from my apartment, so I went to treatment in Durham, and now I'm in Orange County.
How long have you made Chapel Hill your home?
Olivia Island. My son is going to be working on North Carolina Chapel Hill, the hospital. He's going to be a fellowship.
Linda Peterson, Chapel Hill. The schools are fantastic. I have my youngest one is just finishing up at East Chapel Hill High, and the public schools here are amazing.
First name's Stuart, last name's Uten. I live in Cary.
Well, they got good food, they got good restaurants, but I came here for work. It's a good place to work, especially in the summertime. Things slow down, and we like it when the students leave, and we love it when they come back. We're happy one way or the other. I've been here for 28 years, great place to be.
John Rambis, I live in Hall River. It's the job economy. You know, jobs are very plentiful here. Whether you work three part-time jobs and then in the week you got 40 to 55 hours, you know, full-time is available as well. And just the atmosphere that's around here in Chapel Hill is awesome.
That's what you're saying on the street. A 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point.
Thank you very much, Ron. As we usually do see this time of day, we're seeing a couple more slowdowns. 15501 northbound between Estes Drive and Garrett Road through the I-40 interchange. Just as we saw earlier, is seeing just the minor delays this morning. Also, NC-54 now between 15501 and I-40 in both directions, seeing some minor delays. And as you approach NC-54 heading northbound on 15501, you might see some delays there as well. All of these just minor, nothing major, no accidents being reported at this time. I-40 westbound seeing some delays right now as well between the Wade Avenue split and up to about Airport Boulevard, Aviation Parkway, that area right around Lake Crabtree, so be on the lookout for that as well. And I-540 heading northbound just north of I-40, seeing some delays right now as well. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Crown Honda of South Point is home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. 68 degrees, partly sunny, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. It's going to be really hot with a high of about 90 degrees. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fill up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. 7:53 at WCHL. Very quickly here, we're going to check in with Wayne Pond and get a word of the day on WCHL. Wayne, what you got?
Hey, big guy. Well, listen, just very briefly, I want to commend the station for that excellent coverage of the whole academic episode up there on campus, and especially I thought Jim Hebner just did a great job in that interview with the new faculty chair. Apropos of all of which, the word of the day is denouement. Denouement. D is in delightful dog or dependent. Take your pick. D-E-N-O-U-E-M-E-N-T. D-E-N-O-U-E-M-E-N-T.
Hey, Wayne, your phone's cutting out there, buddy.
Oh, no, not again.
Yeah, try it again real quickly here.
Am I back?
Yeah.
Ron, listen, too much time, Gus, and this bloody phone. We'll see if we can get it fixed. We'll do it in the morning, okay?
Well, I'll tell you, why don't you just spell it for me real quick, because I almost got it.
D-E-N-O-U-E-M-E-N-T, the final resolution of the plot of a story in a complex sequence of events.
All right. I can go with that.
You got it?
Yes, sir. Yes,
so
sir.
Call it whatever you want, tragedy or comedy. I think we've reached the denouement.
I think you're right. Hey, thanks very much, buddy.
Adios.
Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. And next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we will give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. Time now for the clean joke of the day, and welcome into the show,
woo-hoo!
Lauren Stafford.
That's me.
Yeah, hey, that is you. You look all good today.
Oh, thanks.
Just
all
a good. Nice hat.
Thanks.
I like that the red hat with the yellow feather in it. You haven't worn that one lately.
No, it's been a while. It's been a while.
Kind of a springtime hat.
The feather was getting a bit droopy. I needed to send it to the dry cleaner.
Well, it looks good.
You needed to get fluffed.
Yeah. Well, everybody's got to get their hat fluffed every now and then. So I'm going to have to take my hat out and get it fluffed, too.
All right. All right, then.
What you got today?
I have a joke from Peter Enchelmeyer. I figured we need to give him another try.
Yeah, Peter.
After that other joke that seemed to sort of end before it really got going.
You know what they say, 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out.
Exactly. We'll see. So we'll give him another chance.
All right. Well, fire it right down the middle and see how it goes.
All righty. A personal trainer was giving practical demonstrations of various physical positions. Sorry. He stood on his head. And blood ran to his head, making his face turn red.
Okay.
You know, the blood rushed to his head.
Mm-hmm.
Later he asked, when I turned upside down and the blood rushed to my face, now tell me why the same thing does not happen when I'm on my feet. A backbencher replied, maybe because your feet are not empty?
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Carolyn Miller is today's WCHL Hometown Hero, another very special mom being recognized during Mother's Day month on WCHL. Susan Rita is her friend, and Susan, why is Carolyn Miller so special?
Carolyn is a volunteer for hospice in Orange County, and she has taken it upon herself to organize a flower delivery program in which volunteers will deliver not only a visit to people in hospice care, but also arrive with a bouquet of fresh flowers. And she gathers these flowers from Southern Season and from Farmers Market and from Fresh Market every week and then takes them home in big buckets. These are flowers that are too old to sell but still pretty and will last another week, and arranges them in vases, and then a hospice volunteer here comes the next day, picks them up, and delivers 40 vases every week to patients in hospice care.
You have to be very special to be involved in hospice to begin with. This is such a great organization, but also I can tell that a lot of work must go into this, making sure the bouquets are ready for the delivery people to pick them up.
That's right, and we have vases that are donated and that we'll pick up at the thrift shops and things of all sizes. Bud vases for someone who is in a small room or area, and larger vases that are just huge bouquets of roses and peonies and all kinds of flowers that we collect.
Susan, if somebody would like to make a contribution or a vase donation, how do they do that?
Well, we are always in need of vases, of course, since we do this twice a week, every week. So donations of vases can be dropped off at the new Progression Climbing Gym over on Legion Road. They're taking vase donations this week until the 31st. They're open Monday through Friday, 11 to 10, Saturday, 10 till 6. And Sunday, noon to 6.
Carolyn Miller is also a very special person for being a mom herself. I understand she has some adult children.
That's right. She has Oliver, Sam, and Lee. And she's been a resident of Chapel Hill for a long time and actually worked for Planned Parenthood for 20 years before she retired and then wanted to keep giving, so joined hospice.
Wow, what a great thing to do. Susan Rita, thank you very much for telling us all about Carolyn Miller.
Thank you, Ron.
Carolyn Miller is today's WCHL Hometown Hero, another very special mom in our community.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Carolina Brewery in Chapel Hill. It's half off. $20 of delicious food and drinks, available now for $10. The Triangle's oldest brewery is open every day for lunch, dinner, and late night, and offers local beef burgers, hand-cut fries, and fun appetizers. New for the summer is a Triple S Lager, a full-flavored Vienna-style lager perfect for hot Carolina summers. It's half off from Carolina Brewery in Chapel Hill. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
67 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms later today. Our high today, about 90. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
President Obama lays out his foreign policy agenda.
Moving beyond a decade of war.
Donald Sterling digs in to keep his team.
The 80-year-old billionaire promised to put up a fight.
Regrets collect.
And an emotional farewell at UC Santa Barbara.
It's affected everyone.